Dancing with Wolves. Learning the danger of fellowshipping false teachers. This is a lesson we all need to understand. This is not a review of the 1990 movie by Kevin Costner. Our Lord has a name for those who would deceive and lead souls astray. He called them wolves. Matthew 7, 15 and 16 says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Jesus also recognized the tendency of man when he sent the 12 apostles out. Matthew 10, 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." A similar account happened when Jesus sent out 70 others. It says the statement was very similar. In Luke 10, verse 3, "Go your ways, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." The Apostle Paul also warned the Ephesian elders about this danger, even warning about some in their own midst. And that's where they can come from. In Acts 20, verse 28 through 30, says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." You have heard the expression, "the wolves in sheep's clothing." We're familiar with what that means. This is what happens when these false teachers disguise themselves. Paul told the Corinthian church about these type of people in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds." And about these wolves, they look innocent enough, but they have a way to destroy the flock of God's people. Therefore, all of God's people are to watch out for the welfare of each other. This means that if there is a wolf in their midst, they need to announce it to the rest. If we learn of a wolf in another congregation, we should warn them. Yes, local church autonomy needs to be respected, and we should not get involved in how they do things. But this situation is different because souls are at stake. And so if we know that, we need to at least give them the opportunity to recognize that there's error taking place or being taught. So we should not sit idly by without giving warning to souls in danger. Would we not do this in real life? I mean, if you were walking down the sidewalk and you saw a little child running towards the street and a car was coming, what would you do? Well, that's a child's problem. Let them worry about it. Would you do that? No, you would not. You'd scream and holler, "Hey, somebody stop that child." You'd run yourself and stop that child. If you saw your little grandchild have a paperclip trying to stick it in the slot in the electric receptacle, what would you do? "Oh, so you're going to find out." No, you wouldn't do that. You'd know exactly what would happen, and no, you'd scream. She'd be so startled, she'd drop the paper. Don't ever do that. She might not understand, but that's what you would do. So in real life, we would warn people if they're heading towards danger. In the church, people are heading for danger if they follow false teachers. Our job is to warn them. Now, how to identify these wolves? How did Little Red Riding Hood identify the wolf? She looked at the characteristics of what she saw. What big teeth? What big nose? What big ears you have? You know, if a fairy tale character can identify a wolf, so should a Christian. We identify them by their fruits, by what they teach, by what they leave behind. These fruits may appear to be doing good works, But looks can be deceiving, as we already read from what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians. Because it takes a while to examine the fruit, there could be damage before we realize what is happening. See, you plant a tree, you wait for it, finally the fruit comes up. If it's no good, what do? You chop down the tree. But you've already wasted 5 years of the land waiting for that tree to produce fruit. The same could happen in the local church. False teachers come in, get things going, and all of a sudden we wake up one day and we've had false teaching all this time. And we need to be on the guard and watch out for that, because damage can already be done by the time it gets there. You know, if a wolf gets into the flock, a lot of damage can take place before the shepherd can get there and chase the wolf away. So we have to realize what is going on as soon as possible. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." In Romans 16:17-18, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." The Word of God is the Bible. It is a standard to follow in order to have salvation. The Bible also instructs us how to identify false teachers. When we learn the truth, we will know what error is. We should expose those who teach error. If we know the truth, anything that is being taught that's not the truth, we should recognize that. We should know that. How are we going to know that if we're ignorant? If we don't know our Bible, if we don't read our Bible, we're not going to know that. So that puts the burden upon us to study our Bibles, to learn our Bibles, to know what's in the Bibles, to know what our Bibles teach, and so we can recognize error when it shows its ugly head. We should be able to do that. If you have learned your Bible that much to be able to recognize error, you know your Bible well enough to be able to teach someone else the truth, right? And that is our job. We just sang that song, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." That is our job, is to help people find the truth, to see the truth, and to come to the truth. And that is our job to do that. And we just sang, "I want to be a worker," but you have to examine yourself. Do I really? Did I mean what I said? You know, we sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding also. Did I really mean it when I said I want to be a worker for the Lord? I mean, that you got to look at yourself sometimes and examine that. In John 17:17, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The word of God is the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So we are not to have fellowship with error or sin. God doesn't fellowship sin, we know that. So how can we say we have fellowship with God if we're fellowshipping sin? It's impossible. We cannot do that. We must identify false teachers and expose them. We also have to be wary that, yes, we need to have confidence in each other, but pay attention. Verify. Like I said last week, don't take everything I say as gospel. Check up on what I say and make sure it is right. If you're not sure about it, we'll talk about it. We cannot give them aid or show them partiality simply because of who they are. And I'm thinking about, there's some people that got some pretty big names in the brotherhood, but they're not really, what's the word I would say, kosher? They're not really right. They are people who are very political figures in the brotherhood. And they're the ones who can make or break another preacher or something. And I'm not going to throw out any names, but you might have some ideas. And in many ways, they are splitting the church apart in this country. And so we just have to make sure that just because old brother so-and-so is coming to preach for us, whoopee! I mean, that should not be the way we look at it. We cannot give them aid or show them partiality because they're very popular, very famous. When we determine that a brother is wrong in his teaching, even if only on one subject area, he must be admonished. He must be. We must have the courage to admonish him. Now, he may already have his, quote, answer figured out, and his canned answer will be given to us, but we still need to admonish the unruly brother. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point, he has become guilty of all." And there have been many preachers across this land who may have been very great gospel preachers and did a lot of good, but they got off in one or two subjects, and they were wrong in their teaching. And we just can't say, well, as long as he doesn't teach on that subject, we're okay with him. No. That is wrong. You're fellowshipping someone you know who teaches a false doctrine. There's other teachers, and we could be talking about the divorce, remarriage doctrine. We could be talking about is eternal life a thing? Is hell real? You know, there are more and more gospel preachers today denying the existence of hell. I mean, that's just denying the validity of the Bible. The Bible talks about it. And there's a lot of that. There are some who are preaching today that the Christ has already returned. And there's nothing left for us to do. I mean, that one really makes no sense to me. I really don't understand that. But anyway, if a preacher is wrong in one point, this preacher needs to be admonished in that point. And don't just use him as long as he doesn't touch on that subject. I mean, that's just something we just have to recognize. Instead of dancing with these wolves, we should be exposing them for what they really are. They are false teachers. And there are some people who say, well, you can't call anybody a false teacher because 2 Peter 2 talks about these people, and you can't read their hearts. You don't know what's their motive inside their hearts. If they're teaching error, they're a false teacher. If they do not repent, they are to be marked out for warning. And we should warn anybody who has the potential of listening to them. Those who choose to dance with wolves for tolerate them will certainly be dancing with them in hell. Now that's kind of strong to say, but does anybody disagree? Okay. Now what is the motive of a wolf? John 12:43, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And that's one of the characteristics these false teachers all have. They want people, they just love me. They want people to love me. And I give this smooth, flattering speech, which Paul talked about. I didn't come to you with smooth, flattering speech. There's some very eloquent speakers out there. I know. I've heard some of them. They're very eloquent. They tell great fish stories. They tell great stories here and there. Sometimes their sermon has no meat and nothing worth listening to. Galatians 1:10. "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We recognize there's a lot of people who are out there trying to please men, trying to make them happy. You know, there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, "For the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but wishing to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers of their own accord." There's people out there. There's people who don't want the truth. And there's preachers out there who know they don't want the truth. So what do? They give them what they want. And that happens a lot. And so, if we're trying to do that, then we're not a bondservant of Christ. I don't care if the guy's wearing the title of a preacher or not. He's not a bondservant of Christ if he does so to be pleasing to men. Now, what happens when a wolf is exposed? Well, since our Lord described these individuals being wolves, we will look to see what happened if you trapped a real wolf. Now, some of you are probably hunters. You go out hunting every year, go out in the wild sometimes and camping. And sometimes even in our own neighborhoods, have you ever trapped a wild animal? Have you ever cornered one? You know what they will do? They got to survive. They're going to come at you with everything they have. They have claws. They have teeth. They have just any method they can use. They will bite, scratch, and do anything they can to get away. When we expose a wolf, they're pretty much going to do the same thing. They will turn on you savagely. If you ever did trap an animal, you know you're in for a big mistake. I mean, a lot of times on YouTube, we see these scenes all the time. Someone gets too close to a big moose, and all of a sudden the moose charges, or a deer might go attacking somebody. It might be a hunter or whatever. But still, we see, I mean, a little mouse, a little tiny mouse who scares most of us. A little tiny mouse can come charging at you, and you're not going to say, oh, come on, buddy, I'll take it. No. Eek! Get out of the way. Yes, that's what you do. Because it's a wild animal. It's not domesticated. So you know you've made a mistake if you capture a wild animal. If you get to one of these wolves, you've made a mistake. These animals, though small, can become very vicious very quickly. And they will use any tool available for their own defense. The same as a false teacher. They will bite, claw, scratch, kick, and charge their enemies. False teachers will do the same. These people try to hide their false doctrine as much as possible, but eventually it's going to come out. They will sit down with someone, and someone who knows the truth will catch it. And say, wait a minute, we've got a problem here. When that does happen, these people become very defensive. And they will start charging you with being mean-spirited or being a hypocrite, or they'll lay any charge they can on you. They start to use any means at their disposal to protect themselves. They'll run off and hide with others. They will do whatever they can to get out of that situation. Sometimes biting, clawing, accusing, admonishing, challenging, and so forth. And it is usually those that expose these false teachers that get hurt the most. They'll start spreading rumors about them, and they'll start talking about them. Then all of a sudden, people who you thought were your friends, all of a sudden, they don't want anything to do with you anymore. That's the tools these people use. We cannot and must not fellowship these people. God holds us accountable for the company that we keep. We know that. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We should not even call them brothers unless we put the adjective in front of there. Digressive, liberal, sinning, false teachers, unrepentant. That's the only way we can describe them as brothers. Recognize they're not teaching the truth. If we accept any part of their false teaching, then we have accepted the lie along with the truth. 2 John 10:11. We should all be familiar with this. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. And do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Let us not be so stupid or naive to think that we in Newark are exempt from these rules. It can happen here. And it's possible. It can happen. You just barely know me. You don't know what I'm capable of doing. And so, yes, that's why you've got to pay attention. That's why you've got to check and see what I teach and verify it. Trust but verify. That's the phrase Ronald Reagan used. Trust but verify. You need to verify what I have to say. The only way to do that is you get my outlines and follow through with me and find out what I've said. And is this according to the scriptures? Does this violate any scripture? It can happen. I have seen it happen in other places. And let us be aware that false teachers can even come from our own midst. And that's usually where they come. You know, if someone walked in the door with a sign that says, I'm a false teacher, what would we do? We'd put up our defenses right away, right? No, they don't do that. They come in smiling, shaking hands, giving you hugs. Oh, we just love everybody. And they find a few. Even the scripture says they prey on the weak widows. And they prey on those who are weak. They'll look around, find those who don't know very much Bible, and then they'll start manipulating them. Next thing you know, you've got a big old clan over here that's basically, they get upset with the preacher and just walk out and take half the congregation with them. And nobody saw it coming? No, it shouldn't be that way. It can happen. That's why we need to trust but verify everybody. The scriptures teach us they will approve a false doctrine. That's what these people do. They approve a false doctrine. You pointed out, it is wrong to teach that there is no hell. Someone will defend that. There are people in this world who will defend that statement. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter time, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a hot iron. We must be aware that there are thousands, if not millions, of false teachers. Of course, we can say every one of the denominations, they're false teachers. All the other religions besides Christianity, they're all false teachers. But even in the Church of Christ, which is the Lord's body, there are false teachers. And a lot of them, their members don't even know they're false teachers. There's some preachers, they believe a certain doctrine, but they won't preach on it. Because they're afraid, they know what will happen if they do. Ooh, somebody's going to have a problem with that. And I've known several who have done that. They kept it to themselves, or they kept it to private conversation. I know there's some very popular preachers, like say, they don't believe there's a hell. But yet they won't stand in the pulpit and declare there is no hell. They won't do that. Because they might lose their job, or for some other reason. Like I said, these people are easily identified if we know the truth. But some are close to home and disguise themselves in order to deceive us. And you don't want to think anything bad about your brethren, do you? No, we really don't. We want to think good thoughts about them. They're fine, upstanding people. They're nice, decent people. They're good to be around. They're humorous. They're funny. They're just good old people. Some of them might be wearing the sheep's clothing. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. We walk out those doors, this is exactly what we've got in this world today. That's what they are. Everybody. That describes our whole society. We just have to know that whatever is out there sometimes filters into here. It does happen. The church changes over time as generations change, and they have different terminology and different ways of doing things. We must be careful. And the promise we have that it will only get worse. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Now, how is it going to get worse? It will get worse because of ignorance on the part of the people of God. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. That's the reason. It'll happen because they do not love the truth. They will desire the lies, and God will let them believe them. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Therefore, they will have to get teachers who teach what they want. I already quoted this. They will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. They will not want teachers who teach the truth. There will come that time when they'll say, no, the person who teaches truth, they're too hard, they're too demanding. They expect us to be compliant. And so they will not want teachers of the truth anymore. When they've gotten to that point, then they're lost. Their candlestick is removed, as the writer of Revelation said, their candlestick will be removed. 2 Peter 2 and verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Many do follow their destructive ways, and many will be lost. So let us all be aware and sound a warning to the brotherhood that there are false teachers among us. Some may be friends that we have known for years, but have now denied the true faith of the doctrine of Christ. If we choose to fellowship them here on earth, we will spend eternity with them in the place where all false teachers go. And here's the reason. Remember that souls are at stake. All souls, my soul and your soul, is at stake in this. That's why we need to beware and not dance with wolves. That's our lesson this morning. We haven't talked about the gospel. It's very plain and simple. After hearing the gospel, you must believe it. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. As the Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts 8 and verse 37. Yes, must believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Why? Because I am a sinner. You are a sinner. And you have sinned against God. And your sin separates you from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. So you repent. You decide to change your ways. Repent says stop the sin in your life. You start living the way God wants you to live. And that is the change. Start living for God instead of living for yourself. And be ready to confess His name before man. I put my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And let the world know that. Then be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16. And then you begin your journey. And you live your life faithfully for the Lord. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.